What's going on, everybody? It's Woody, and I am here to do another episode of 1 True 3. And today's 1 True 3 guest is Allie, Althea Ray, actually. Is it okay if I just name drop your?
Oh, I don't care. I don't care.
Well, I mean, that's your Reddit username, so I was like, people would know. I'm gonna tag you in the post anyway, so it's all good. So,
Yeah,
bef
just
bef
call me the modest. I mean, I am
the
the only girl not on backstage, so.
Modest, mo well, mod is it mod s or modus? How do you pronounce it?
I say mod S, like mod and then S, like
Cause,
ESS on the end, not like modest.
yeah, cause people will confuse it, right?
Yes, very true.
Got it. So right before we started, I'm just gonna point. I'm not. I don't mean to embarrass you, but I want to bring it out because
Oh,
right
God.
before we started recording, you were singing something, and I was eating banana, and you were eating, but we were singing something. And it just made me think about like just filling the empty spaces in our life. One of the things that I know that we don't really address when we are kind of recording and performing and stuff is like we have all this kind of quiet around us. And so it's funny, like you would fill it with like the nonsensical, songs and stuff like that. I do it too, but is there any time where it's either gotten you like in trouble or you've looked around and people are like, what are you doing?
No, but I do tend to like hum and sing randomly, like if there's quiet spaces. I just have to be careful on that. Like if I'm doing audios, literally I'll just start humming.
What?
Especially, I actually started singing during one of my questionnaires, I think once. Or like I started like humming bits and pieces of a song,
Yeah.
or I would start saying something that reminded me of a song, and then I would just start singing. So, and then I'd get all sidetracked and have to try to figure out what question I was on. It's the true struggle for me.
Yeah, for me it's like phobic, so I'll react only like as kind of a phobia sort of thing. So like to give you an example, like I'm usually pretty quiet, but like I'm not really fond of like public restrooms. I don't think anybody is. I mean, let's just say it right now. Here and now, public restrooms are awkward. Like you to be able to if there's a way to soundproof a public restroom and also to like not draw attention to the fact that you have to go you have to go. So when I go, I tend to whistle. This sounds goofy. But like I'll tend to fill the empty space because I don't want it to just be like me. So I'll whistle in the restroom to fill that empty space. But I'll find myself too, like, singing and goofing off and stuff. It is different though. Like I think when you're used to it, or if it's been something you've done for so long, I think it's definitely different as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I can't whistle necessarily very well. I can
No?
hit some notes, but I can't hit others. Well, it's
Okay.
because I'm used to like humming. Just because whenever I was in band and we had to sight read, we didn't whistle. We kind of like hummed all of our notes and stuff to each other
Okay.
whenever we had to go to like a competition.
Yeah.
So that's kind of more so what I'm used to.
And then that, and when you travel to competitions, I'm guessing you're like on a bus, so you have basically a bus full of high school kids or college kids, like just humming, just like, whatever you have to do.
Oh no, mostly like we only actually did like the humming and stuff like at the actual competition. And most of the time, like in our district, since it's like a small district, we just travel, like we individual travel. We didn't ever have to bus, which is very fortunate.
Did you see that video on Reddit a couple of days ago? That guy who's traveling to, I think it was like Whitewater. It was the craziest thing. I know I'm dating this, podcast, but there he basically was like driving 70, driving to a competition or something, and his car hydroplaned and he rolled over. His car, he was uninjured, but he was recording himself like practicing vocals or something. Did you see that video?
No, I feel like I need to though.
It's definitely it's less than a minute, and I think he posted just more like, "Hey, this happened to me," or not he, but somebody posted it on his behalf or something. "Hey, this happened to me," and there's like a real moment of like terror, like he, but he's by himself. That's the whole thing. My connection is more like when other people see that you're like being goofy or being silly and stuff like that. But it doesn't sound like it embarrasses you. You're just like, "Oops, I guess I didn't realize," and it's like, "Well, that's me. That's who I am," So.
Yeah, half the time I just keep going. I'm like, whatever.
Well, that's good. Well, let's keep going here, and we'll go ahead and start the game here. So, just as a heads up for everybody who doesn't know what this is, or if they haven't played before, if you couldn't tell by the name, basically the contestant tells me three stories from their past, one at a time. two of them are not real, but one of them is. And it's their job to fool me, and it's my job to guess which story might be real. And I get to ask the contestant clarifying questions and then look for additional details to uncover. And if I guess the real one correctly, then I win. But if not, then the contestant wins. Now, I usually always play for a prize. And Allie, you told me another thing when we were talking before. You were mentioning your water consumption. And I have a hard time remembering it myself, but I'm usually almost always around like a big, and I bike a lot too, so I have a like a Camelback or something, like a water thing. So that is going to be your prize for today. If you guess, if I can't guess your 1, 2, 3 correctly, then you win a 2-quart Camelback, and then that way you can carry it around. You won't ever be dehydrated or be like, oh, where's my water? Because water bottles are on, honestly, they're okay, but I've left water bottles at places and I'm like, that's my favorite water. Yeah, I have to not get attached to it. So then you actually have to wear this backpack pretty much all the time. So that sounds like a pretty good prize, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now I've got note cards to help me keep track of certain details as well, and I've got a little pad and paper to jot it down. I'm recording in a different space too, so it might sound a little differently, but on my end of things. But hopefully the trains don't go pie. But are you ready to play 1, 2, 3, Allie?
Yes.
All right. So let's get started with your story number one.
All right. Story number one. So I don't think I've actually talked much about like my whole collegiate experience, but I actually went to my first school on a music scholarship for me playing clarinet.
Oh, wow.
I ended up not sticking with band, but I mean, at least that's one thing. That's kind of how I got started. Because I mean, I played all throughout grade school, middle school, and high school. Mm-hmm. And originally, I wasn't going to, but my band director was like, "You know what? You're good enough to. So why don't you?" And I was like, "All right, let's give it a go."
Gotcha. Wow. So then, yeah. So I'll ask some more clarifying questions a little bit. So you say. That you went on a clarinet scholarship or like, well, I'm saying it wrong.
It's more so like in general, what they'll do is, if you play any sort of instrument really well, mm-hmm. And you'll play it for the school, mm-hmm. They will give you like a music scholarship. I played in band and I also played in like one of their many, many wind ensembles.
Wind
ensemble. So,
okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, they have like different like levels. It's like a symphonic band, wind ensemble, concert band, kind of things like that. So I marched and I played in one of the bands as well.
Okay.
I think I was actually in the concert band. I may have been. I don't remember which one.
But also marching band, you said.
Yes.
You marched as well. Gotcha. Concert band. Okay, I'm just jotting that down. Wow. Okay. Well, that's pretty ambitious. But I know you said you didn't stick with it. But I mean, that probably speaks to like your love of like humming and music and always having, you know, that kind of on standby as well. Interesting.
Yeah, it was one of those like I quickly realized as much as I love band, it was something I liked to do in my free time. I didn't want to necessarily make a career out of it because I didn't want it to suck my love of music.
Right.
Where like I literally have to do it day in and day out. Like it's my job, not just I'm doing this because I love it.
Gotcha.
So I realized that like halfway in and I'm like, I still want to keep playing, but I'm changing my major.
Yep, absolutely. Definitely. Okay. Well, that's a pretty good story for story number one. I kind of like that. And I'll probably ask you a couple of clarifying questions after, but let's move on if you're okay to story number two.
Sure. So I used to work in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter many, many moons ago.
Wow.
And
let's just appreciate that for a moment. That's awesome.
Yes. And I actually got to meet, I can't remember what her name is to save my life, but I actually met the girl who plays Luna Lovegood.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It's more like I briefly met her / saw her / I put her on the ride, said, "Hey, how's your day going?" And internally was going, "Oh my God, it is freaking Luna Lovegood on my ride. Oh my God."
So In terms of, so you work there, but then it's a ride, and then I guess, well, I'll ask a follow-up question, but the encounter you said was probably more like, like 1 or 2 minutes, or like just glancing and okay, got it. Cool.
You know, because it's one of those, like, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is in itself still part of the theme park.
Yeah.
And I worked in one of the rides, as mine happened to be a roller coaster. And every once in a while, you know, you get celebrities who come in and want to ride the ride, and they kind of get like backdoored.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, I didn't want to be like, "Oh my God, you're amazing."
Right.
But I still had to be professional and be like, "Oh my God, oh 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 my God."
That's awesome. Luna, and I, oh man, I'm gonna date myself or age myself. I haven't read Luna, so I don't know who that is, but
Have you, and you haven't seen any of the movies
I
either?
saw the first one.
She's the one in Ravenclaw with the really, really long blonde hair who kind of seemed very space cadet-y.
Okay. That kind of helps. So, did she have long blonde hair? She wrote
Yes.
that.
Amazingly enough, like, I was kind of surprised she didn't change her look because it was one of those, like, the long blonde hair and her face is very recognizable. So I was just like, oh, this is, I mean, you're cool, but I'm like, let me not embarrass myself here for the next couple minutes.
But also, doesn't it, and I'm not to tangent, but doesn't it, I'd be curious because J.K. Rowling maybe had them sign like special contracts that said you have to stay, the looking like the character. But w it would be kind of presumptuous to assume that like Harry's gonna look the exact same as he did in year one. I mean, his the whole the kids grew up, you know what I mean? They look different from,
Yeah.
yeah, so
And
yeah.
then plus this is also like years after the like all the movies have been released.
Right.
So I feel like they shouldn't I don't think what's the word I'm looking for? Contractually or whatever.
Yep.
Or I don't think that that would necessarily apply because it's that I mean I'm sure they do like random press here and there. But I don't think that it's necessarily like still in their contract, like years afterwards, that they have to still look the same. Because I mean, they've gone on to other roles. The girl played Hermione, went to college, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
So.
definitely. I do have a follow-up question on that that's completely unrelated, but I'm gonna wait until after you're done telling me. Was there anything else you want to add about that? Okay, so I'll wait and we'll hear your story number three.
Okay, so I am completely and totally utterly a military brat.
Military brat.
I actually almost went into the service, but I blew out my knee like a month and a half before basic.
Oh.
So I was very, very sad. But yeah, it's one of those, it's kind of funny because my job now, I work with a lot of military families and military vets.
Yeah.
And it's one of those I was thinking about the other day. I'm just like, I feel like eventually, like I might, like think about one day, like going in, like later. But it was one of those, like I'm like 100% like Army brat,
Gotcha.
all up in here.
But the story, so you were gonna do, you were gonna, how does it work? I mean, you enroll them? Because my experience I told the last time is like, go to selective service, but you have to basically sign up for the
Yeah,
armed
like
forces.
I signed all of the paperwork. I'd already been to MEPS, which is like your medical examination processing and all that stuff. I'd already sworn in that I was gonna go to basic, and then I blew out my knee.
Like,
And then I had to get like basically I got medically discharged before I even started.
oh, gotcha. Did and just to make sure that we kind of capture, did you blow out your knee doing like something athletic? Were you just walking around? Was it like
No, it was twice a week because I was in late entry. So I worked out with them like twice a week because they're worried about my weight. AKA, I'm a curvy girl. I have curves. But they wanted to make sure that I was still going to pass all my tests and everything.
Yeah.
So I'd work out with them twice a month. I mean, not twice a month, I'm sorry, twice a week.
Okay.
And it was during one of my training sessions, I felt something on my knee kind of like
Ooh.
pop or do something weird.
Yeah, just give me the giblies right now. I don't
Yeah, and then the next day I woke up and I literally had to roll out of bed because I couldn't bend my knee.
Oh my goodness, no. Oh.
And apparently I had like all these micro tears and everything around where my kneecap is, and my kneecap actually now no longer slides on the track like it should. So it kind of like goes all over the place, but I mean,
Oh my goodness
it is what it
gracious.
is.
Wow. That's crazy. And then so yeah, oh man. So then you said that maybe you want to do something involved with it later, like on, but it would probably have to be something not. When is basic not an option? That'd be my question. Do you, is there any ever a time?
I feel like it depends. I'm actually not sure. I think I don't know, because I know somebody who went into basic when they were like 38.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends. I don't think they're taking older people. I hate to say older, but I mean,
Hey,
let's be
watch
real
it.
here.
Just kidding. I'm not old, but yeah, but no, I agree with you. Like you have to be probably of a certain health like threshold or something that that what they measure, what is this MEPS thing you said? Is that an early measurement or?
It's one of those, yeah, that you actually go and they check all of your stuff, like all your basic like measures, like your height, weight, sight, hearing. They test everything because that's basically when they can like essentially like wash you out if you don't meet certain qualifications and stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow. I mean, you told three really good stories, and I mean, I'm even just at first glance, I'm having a tough time trying to figure out this. But let me ask you a couple of clarifying questions. We'll go back to story number one, if that's okay.
Sure.
So, you said you played clarinet since, or you played instruments, I'm guessing, since grade school. But then you
Yes.
also said that you didn't want the love of music to be sucked out of you. Was that more because like competitions were fun through high school, but then you were afraid that it was going to push you in a more professional direction? You wanted to stay.
Yes.
Okay.
It was more so I never saw myself growing up as being a professional musician. I'm more of what I like to call a casual musician.
Okay.
When like I like to play either if I have like a concert coming up or something like that, that's cool with me.
Yeah.
But not like literally the only way I'm making a living is playing my instrument.
Gotcha.
Because then if like things are getting paid, it's like, oh, well then I'm not playing good enough or something, and then it turns into this like self-esteem thing, and I'm
Yeah.
just like, no, I'm just gonna play my instrument because I want to play it, not because I'm getting paid to do it
Yeah.
necessarily. And to me, like with the whole scholarship, it didn't really bother me that it was paying for my college because I know college was something that I wanted to do. So it was more so killing two birds with one stone.
Gotcha.
So
Gotcha. Do you still play? Do you have your clarinet from when you were in high school and
my
college?
clarinet is in the closet right now.
Oh, that's cool.
It actually needs to get it needs to go get it, I need to get it worked on
Gotcha.
because my pads are being stupid and my cork is being all funky as well.
Funky cork. Oh,
Yeah, because like after a point, like if you haven't played it in a while, there's actually the stuff that you can put on the cork to actually make the instrument come together, like actually, because my clarinet's in five pieces, so it actually put it together and make sure it like stays and doesn't like destroy the cork. We have like cork grease.
Gotcha.
But like I haven't played in a while, so I have to check all the stuff.
Can you
So
still read music though?
yes.
Okay, so that's something I've never ever been able to do. When we talked about music, I think Melt and I talked about music when she recorded. When she recorded, she had her drumsticks. She was very musical and she played for like a kazoo and a slide whistle. It's goofy. But anyway, but she was talking about like how kind of that music side of things, like if you stay constant or current with it, then it never goes away. I would love to
Yeah.
be able to read music someday, but I can't. I don't know how to put my head around it because I also want to. I have like piano hands, so it's like, do I play? Do I find an instrument? I have guitar. I have all sorts of instruments. It's just like pushed myself into a direction to do it. And you read music since you were a kid, so it's like even that more. It's like well ingrained in you. So.
Yeah, actually, at some point, I actually used to be able to read three clefs, but now I can read treble comfortably. Bass clef is kind of eh, but I can't read alto clef anymore.
Can you read? Can you see the notes and sing it? Like if you had to sing it, like if you didn't know the piece, or hum it, maybe is a better way of it.
I'm not as good as I used to be, but kind of a little bit.
Got it.
I'm really rusty. I think the last time I actually read sheet music was Miss Glitchy did a Rhett, Giant Rhett collaboration, and that was the last time I actually read sheet music.
Got it. Got it. Rent. Rent. That I'm gonna have to look that up. That sounds pretty cool. Okay, so that answers a question I had about number one. Question for number two. This is more of a kind of a hypothetical. If you were a celebrity, would you ever use it to do anything like Luna did? Would you ever be like, "Hey, I want to ride this ride," you know? Or would it be more like you'd probably not want to impose, like you'd want to like kind of blend in or mesh like more?
I think I would more so want to blend in because it's like I've met other people too. But it was one of those, they tried to be at least a little more incognito. And it was just one of those, like, I don't think I would personally want to be like, oh, hey, well, I was, part of this, you should let me on kind of thing. And like, she wasn't really imposing. It was just one of those, like, I guess she had like security kind of bring her on so that if she couldn't, didn't actually go through the actual queue, so she wouldn't essentially be like almost ambushed by people. So.
I think the other question I was going to ask about it is that once there's a, you know, when things are new, there's a familiarity with it. I think this has probably been open for like at least like 5, 6 years, if I remember the commercials correctly. But were there busier times of the day, or was it pretty much busy all the time?
It's more so there are busy seasons.
Gotcha.
Because what was I gonna say? Because during like the winter time was really busy during the summer. I mean like autumnish, like before Halloween wasn't really that busy. So between like when kids go back to school, August, September through like October and the beginning parts of November weren't too bad. And then excluding spring break in the spring, but
I'm really more just interested in the life hack aspect of it. So like when you know what I mean? Like when should I go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter? Probably after
all
I watch the
right,
movies,
not
right?
yeah, but also not during the summer, not during spring break,
Okay.
not during once like Thanksgiving and everything starts to roll around.
Gotcha. When did Luna show up there?
I want to say it was March-ish,
March-ish. So
so
about.
kind of during the spring break craziness, which was strange, because I was like, ah, you finally would pick a downtime now when we have like a shit ton of people.
Did she fly away on a broomstick, like, because she plays Quidditch or something? That's my
No,
only frame
no.
of reference. I know Quidditch, and I know moving staircases, and that's about it from what I can remember. And I think there's an
We need to
owl.
fix this. We need to fix
I know.
this.
Well, it's just the being, you know, not having free time to read. And now it's like, do I take the time to read the books, or do I just kind of waste it and like, oh, I'm just gonna watch all movies. You know what I mean? So it's a tough one as well. Three. Story number three. Do you still have problems with your knee, or is it pretty okay now?
I think at this point, like, it's gotten to a good spot
Yeah.
where I'm okay. And the only times where it's really bad, I can't do like long games of volleyball like I used to.
Yeah.
But whatchamacallit? Yeah, no, it's I can still walk on it. I mean, I was doing like 2 miles of walking on it at least
Gotcha.
like 2, 3 times a week.
Gotcha.
So I just have to be careful with what I do and with how I walk. It's kind of weird. Like you have to sit and like be like, oh, let me not like step this way so my knee doesn't go.
Right, exactly. And I don't want to get you too, like, you know, kind of wistful about what could have been, but like, if you wouldn't have blown out your knee and you did go to like, you know, basic training and stuff, what would be your ideal? I mean, what would be your ideal like position within the armed forces? Like, what do you want to, what did you strive to do or to be?
I don't necessarily think I had like an ideal, but I think I wanted to do something medical. It's because I have that love of science
Cool.
and helping people, and I felt like that was a good mix. That, or I didn't mind being the paperwork person. I like paperwork. I'm really weird about that.
No, you're
Everyone's like,
not.
oh God, paperwork! Ah! And I'm like, yay,
They need a
organizing.
everything, but every place needs like those people to keep to keep the accountability and to keep all of the legal and documented, all those things need to stay in check. You have to have people responsible for that. It can't just be like, I'm gonna go overseas and I'm gonna like go, go defend our country. It's also like, no, you need the practical people, like the people in the infirmaries or the people like lab technicians or something like that. And you would have gotten the training to do that. And I think the other thing is like, I like the path that you described taking because you were creative minded, and then you were like, well, I'm creative, but I'm also into like, I'm not diminishing it, but I'm also into like wizardry. And like you kind of sought your path based on the things that you were passionate about. Like, I don't know if you were truly passionate about, you sound like you were about Harry Potter, which is like awesome. So it's like, it was probably a joy to go to work every day and be like, oh my goodness, it's so fun. Even though there are probably big lines and stuff. But I think too, like, I think about like different paths you could have taken in life, not you, but in general. And then just like, well, there's no way to know where you would be at that point. So it's better to just be like, oh man, this is what could have been. And it, sucks in some ways that it happened, but at the same time, it's like, well, look at the path that we're on. So it's good too. So that was a lot of rambling from me. I was just, I wanted to make sure that I got that clarification so that I knew what it is. I think I have everything I need, but I gotta tell you, this is probably one of the most difficult ones I've had to pick. So what I'll do is I'll eliminate the one that I think is least plausible, and then I'll have to decide which one is the most true.
Okay.
So, boy, all three stories definitely have threads of truth in them. And I like the kind of the history behind them all, but I would say the one that strikes me as the least viable would probably be the experience of meeting the celebrity at Harry Potter. And the reason why I say this is because we see celebrities all the time, and I probably, and knowing me, I probably wouldn't have recognized Luna, or certainly known who she was from, like, I don't even know if she's British. I'm like, oh, I'm Luna Lovegood or whatever. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's, when you see security, you're just kind of like, okay, this is a famous person. And like, you just kind of assume that you would look the other, well, not assume that you'd look the other way, or like, not pay attention to it. So I'm going to say that the easiest one to eliminate would probably be story number two. Now, don't tell me if that's true yet, because I have to pick now the one that's most true. And that's going to be tricky because I could definitely see you having musical background. Certainly, if you still have your clarinet, that's good as well. But then I didn't know that you had gotten that close to getting into basic training either, which is also kind of challenging as well. And now you said your knee is better, but also to the point where you can only do a little bit on it, which is like, well, you'll probably have to be careful about it for the, the rest of your life and stuff. But then also to, like you said, to kind of be involved in your current, place, with military families and stuff. So that is also tripping me up as well. But I'm gonna have to say, based on the strength of your musical background and knowing that you definitely had the experience since you were in grade school, you know how to read music, you still have your instrument. There's a lot of sentimentality there for me, like lots of like feelings of nostalgia. So I'm going to say that I think your one true three is story number one. I think that you did get a collegiate music scholarship for playing clarinet. You switched gears and then went into the field that you're in now, and you still have your clarinet, and you still play, but you have fond memories of your band past. So I guess story number one, am I correct?
No.
Oh
Story number three actually is correct.
no. Oh, okay. See, I was tricky. I was tricked between, well, I wasn't tricked, but I was like caught between how valid story number one is versus story three. Ooh.
It's always, and it's the little things, because I did get a scholarship, but it wasn't for band.
Oh,
It was for
gotcha.
academics. Because
Academics.
I had like a 4 point 0.07 or something when I graduated
Goodness
high school.
gracious. Goodness gracious.
And funny enough, I didn't meet Luna Lovegood, but I have met the twins, and I met the little girl who played Harry Potter's mom in Deathly Hallows.
Oh. Oh my
And I met
goodness.
M. Night Shyamalan, which is really random. He's not really Harry Potter related, but I met him too.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
He seems like a nice guy. So, okay, so sort
he's very quiet, like
yeah.
very, very quiet. And it's very like weird too, because I didn't realize it was him. So like, because I was in Ollivander's Wand Shop, and they're
Okay.
like, "Hey, we have a special showing. Just act normally, and we're just doing this private showing." And I was like, "Okay, whatever." And him and his family came in, the guy did everything, and
Yeah.
then they left. And I was just like, "Do we do these often?" And the girl next to me was just like, "Dude, that was M. Night Shyamalan and his family." And I was like, "Well
Yeah,
then."
that's cool. That's
I
awesome.
also briefly met Steve Carell on my very first day. I kind of just waved at him.
Hi. That's cool. Did he say he did he declare bankruptcy?
Oh,
just
God.
kidding. Man, so I didn't get it right. See, I was on the fence too about the way that you were explaining that story because I was like, man, she's probably like she's either like held back on some of the details because it's like I mean, is a kind of an intense thing to happen, like in the midst of this kind of big change that you're about to do. Oh, so boy. But then I was like, yeah, but you seem like you're doing okay.
Honestly, I was really worried because I gave the most detail on story three. And I was just like, oh my God, he's gonna figure it out. I made this too easy.
That was that probably should have been my clue, which is like you had a lot of this detail, and I should have gone back to acronym school because MEPS. I was like, what's MEPS? I don't know what MEPS is. I should have asked what MEPS was. I don't even know, but
That was a dead giveaway because, like, if you're military, you're a military brat, acronyms out the ass.
well, so you were trying to you were trying to like come on, Woody. I'll let's go fishing. So, okay, well, it looks like I have to send you Camelback, which ironically, people in the military don't use. Like, they're not, you'd use the canteen still, right?
It depends, 'cause like some of them that they're doing different depending on like the exercise that
Yeah.
they're doing, some of them actually do use Camelbacks.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. And now I guess I'm gonna have to send it to you through like APO or something. I don't know what I'm doing. So,
We'll figure it out.
yeah. So okay, so you just beat me again. So now my record is 5-2. Ooh, that's not good. It's still, I mean, it's still over 500, so that's good. But I don't know if I'm gonna make it to the playoffs. That was fun though, and I like being able to record these with you. Thank you so much for playing, Allie. And like I said, if you want to play 1-3, you guys just feel free to send me a message or reach out. We can always play. I think it's fun. I hope it's fun.
Oh yeah, it was fun because I think the hardest part for me was trying to come up with things that weren't like obviously, oh my God,
Yeah.
but
You had good clarifiers, though. That's the other thing. People don't realize it's not just the story you tell, it's about when I ask you for a follow-up questions, like, no, you were right there with me. And it was enough to make me go, like, well, I think it was that. So you can trick me, guys. That's the point. I mean, and that's the fun of it all. So feel free to reach out as well. So yeah, so thanks again for listening and thanks again for playing, Allie. I appreciate it.
No problem.
And this has been 1-3, and hope everybody has a wonderful day.